Oh, Amma!
Language warning!
Very adult content ahead. What troubles you, my child?
Hello, sinners. Welcome to Confession Booth, where just by listening, you get to absolve your deepest, darkest, most disgusting, embarrassing, and surprisingly heartfelt secrets. I'm A.H. Cayley, and the Catholic schools I went to are not proud of me. Annalise Constable is a writer, performer, and queer rights activist. Today, she takes us on a diagnostic journey into the recesses of her very, very literal mind.
So imagine me sitting at home. I go to the Google homepage. I type in, am I autistic? I complete an online test and it is inconclusive. Most people are surprised when I say that I've done these tests. Not because I'm doing the test at all, but because they think clearly I would be on the spectrum, and the more accurate question would be, why has it taken me over 30 years to figure this out? So I don't see being on the spectrum as a negative. It would just explain a lot about me and my experiences of the world. So one of the reasons that I feel like I might have some form of Asperger's is because of my very literal understanding of most things. I once called Lifeline and the person who answered the phone said, "Hello, Lifeline Australia, Linda speaking, what state are you in?" This threw me. I paused a moment and said, "What state am I in? I'm in a state of despair and I'm also in the state of New South Wales, Linda. Your question has two meanings. Can you please clarify what you're asking?" What worked for me in this situation was that I was too busy judging Linda for not being 100% clear, that it distracted me from the real reason why I was calling Lifeline in the first place. Crisis averted. Well played, Linda. Well played. Quite recently, I was at my office job and I was in a meeting with my manager and two other people, and someone was mid-sentence when a lovely volunteer came to the door and asked, "Am I interrupting?" I immediately and abruptly said, "Yes," and shot the volunteer a look that would make someone with no face blush in their phantom face. It became obvious to me later that a regular human would have realised the volunteer was asking a rhetorical question and trying to politely gain our attention, but not on my watch. If you ask me, am I interrupting, and you are interrupting, I'm going to say yes. Later that day, my manager spoke to me about this incident and told me that she thought I may be autistic. Another time at Christmas, I was going to a barbecue at my sister's house, and she asked me to bring a small fruit platter. Due to my very literal understanding of everything, I didn't know if she meant a small platter of fruit or a platter of small fruit. I thought, eureka, grapes are a small fruit. Solved. But if you compare a grape to an apple, then the apple is the big fruit, but an apple is small in comparison to a grapefruit, which makes a grapefruit a big fruit. So what does that make an apple? And a grapefruit in comparison to a watermelon makes a grapefruit a small fruit, and that would make watermelon a big fruit. And what about tomatoes? Should they be considered a fruit in this situation? A cherry tomato. Wait a minute. Blueberries are even smaller than grapes. Maybe the platter should only be made of the smallest fruits. Or maybe I could find all of the tiny grapes that fall to the bottom of the grape bag and make an entire platter out of those. I thought my sister's request was very, very specific. But who was I to deny the woman the small fruits she so rightly deserved? At this point in time, for me, the difference between grapes and blueberries was like comparing apples and stabbings. A world of difference. I researched for so long about small fruits and then finally cracked and called my sister to get further clarification. Anyway, I digest. This taking things literally isn't a new phenomenon in my life. On my Year 6 excursion to the Parliament House, there was a naive mania, and kids on the bus were jumping around, having fun, and were throwing pens. With the precision of a successful sperm, one of the pens stabbed me in the eye. And my year six teacher, Mr. Condon, saw this penetration. Mr. Condon said to me, "Annalise, are you all right?" I covered my injured eye, and the other uncontained wild eye stared deep into Mr. Condon's soul. As I let rip on him in a way that I had never spoken to an adult before. "What do you think, Mr. Condon? No, I'm not fucking all right. I got stabbed in the eye with a friggin' pen. Would you be all right if you got stabbed in the eye with a pen? What kind of a rubbish question is that? Am I all right? Jesus Christ, do you even think before you speak?" On another day, I came home to pick up... my dog Peanut to take him to the vet. And he'd recently been dissexed and had to wear a bucket around his head to stop him from interfering with his wound. The day was really hot and I decided to jump in the pool at my house for a really quick dip before heading out. But I didn't have enough time to put on swimmers, so I just grabbed a towel, I grabbed Peanut and I headed down to the pool. And I stripped down to my underwear, jumped in the pool, flailed about for like 30 seconds, and then I got out, wrapped a towel around myself. And a few minutes later, Peanut and I were driving down the road behind two cyclists. The closest cyclist was a woman, and she had balanced a bag of shopping on her right handlebar. So for the sake of the story, let's just call her Mary. So I could see that the shopping bag was causing Mary considerable trouble. The bag was bumbling around and banging against her leg. And her friend, who was unhindered by a shopping bag, was like gradually increasing his lead down the road. And so Peanut and I had recently begun a passionate love affair with Smooth FM, and we were cruising in the car singing to 100% Pure Love by Crystal Waters. And my hair dripped water down onto the towel I was sitting on, and the summer air was coming through the window and it was cooling my wet skin, and we approached a roundabout. And suddenly the shopping bag got caught in the front wheel of Mary's bike. The bike stopped dead, and Mary kept moving, and Mary was catapulted from the bike, helmet first, onto the asphalt. Her limbs followed her shortly afterwards. Her torso was there too. The thud of Mary's helmet and the screech of the bike frame on the road interrupted 100% Pure Love. And I slammed on the brakes, jumped out of the car, and I ran to Mary. I crouched down and I said, "Are you okay?" Now, in hindsight, asking this question was very hypocritical of me, considering my treatment of Mr. Condon and the pen in the eye. But Mary was clearly in shock and had hit every part of her body on every part of the ground. And I whistled out for a mate to come back. He wasn't even aware of what had happened. Mary's legs and arms were all tangled in the bike, and the shopping bag had split open, spreading her stuff like all over the road, and the bike was actually on top of her. So I went over to her and I said, "I'm going to get the bike off you, okay?" And Mary was still blank, but she said, "Okay." So I gently unpeeled her from the bike, and as I lifted the weight of the bike up off her body, her mate arrived. And he looked a bit confused and stared at me oddly, and I lifted the bike high above my head, and I just carried it off the road, and I put it in a bus shelter. All while this is happening, my little dog Peanut is watching through the car window with his plastic bucket around his head. And it was at this point that I realised that there were loads and loads of cars really banking up, like at least 20 cars. And so I crouched down and I gathered some of Mary's shopping things to clear the road, and I leant forward on one knee and pried a carton of soy milk from the garden on the roundabout. So I went back to Mary. Her mate had checked a few things out and it seemed like it was safe to move her off the road. So Mary put her arms around us. I told her gently, "Hold on tight," as we each took one of Mary's legs and stretched her off the road. We put her on the ground and she seemed to be coming out of her shock with minimal injuries. And I realised I needed to leave to get Peanut to the vets. So I jumped back in the car, patted Peanut on his bucket head and took off. Now, it wasn't until I reached the car park at the vets that I realised that I was still only in my underwear. My wet underwear. My wet, white underwear. I have naturally black hair. And not only that, the undies were low cut and didn't even remotely cover the top of my pubic hair. So this is all that I had been wearing throughout the entire bike ordeal. Join me while we look at some of the things that I did basically naked in front of Mary, her mate, and a load of people in their cars. I crouched in front of Mary, okay? Not a regular ladylike closed-legged crouch, an open-legged wild woman shitting in the bushes crouch. I leant over a wide-eyed Mary as I untangled her body from the bike and said, "Are you all right?" At one point, I gently removed hair that was covering her eyes and put it behind her ear. I thought Mary's friend was weird when he gave me an odd look. I lifted the bike above my head and marched it to the bus shelter. As I did this, I remember thinking to myself, "Wow, I'm quite strong." I bent over to pick up numerous items spread far and wide, ass in the air, spirits high. I convinced Mary to wrap her arms around my naked body and carried her off the road. Not only that, I squeezed her side and said, "Hold on tight." So I don't think Mary was in shock from the bike accident. I think Mary was terrified of the naked lesbian trying to drag her injured body off the road. And her mate had not seen any of this. And we hadn't really had a chance to explain what had happened. And so all he saw was his friend like completely smushed on the road, a car very close behind hers, which was my car, and a pretty much naked woman, that's me, trying to carry his friend's bike away. So I imagine that as I carried the bike to the side of the road and I was out of earshot, Mary and her friend were like, "Who the fuck is that? Where the fuck did she come from?" Another time, I was in the pool with my new friend Tracy, and we mucked around for a fair while. We were like bombing and playing Marco Polo and Shark Attack, which is a game that I made up. It's pretty cool, but no biggie. And then I said to Tracy, "Have you ever had an aqua hug?" And Tracy said, "No." And I was like, "Get fucked." Aqua hugs are probably like the best thing that has ever been invented in the world, copyright Annalise Constable. And I got really excited and jumped out of the pool. And I stood next to the water and she looked up at me. "Close your eyes," I said. She was a bit unsure and I was like, "Hey, babe, don't worry. There's nothing to be scared of. I've done it like heaps of times and every time I've done it, the other person has loved it." So an aqua hug is, you know, a regular hug involves physical contact, right? I hope you're all aware of that. Now, an aqua hug does not involve physical contact. It involves water, a minimum of two people, a lot of enthusiasm, and a lot of love. So I have a lot of enthusiasm and I want to hug my friends in an aquatic way. And so the idea is that my arms and my legs kind of go around Tracy's body and move down. I jump in the water and they move down her body, but they never make contact with her, okay? And so it's just water, me, my friend, and love. And so Tracy was still a bit worried, and I was like, "You'll be fine, it's heaps of fun." And I said, "Close your eyes and stand still. If you move, you'll get hurt." I asked her if she understood. She said yes and tried to peek, which told me she didn't understand. I take my aqua hugs very seriously. So I said, close your eyes. And repeated, remember, if you move, you will get hurt. And then I launched my body towards her still trusting body in the water. Now, what was supposed to happen didn't happen. Not even close, okay? You may remember that I wanted to hug the water around Tracy while not making any contact. Instead, my cunt made abrupt and firm contact with Tracy's shoulder. My vagina spread and grinded like all the way down her body until my ass hit the bottom of the pool. Or is it grinded? Maybe it's ground. My vagina ground all the way down her body until my ass hit the bottom of the pool. And if it's possible for a labia to do the splits, then my labia at this point was an Olympic gymnast. And that is the story of how I accidentally sexually assaulted my friend. And to make matters worse, I was wearing a leopard print swimsuit, which made the assault look premeditated. So more recently, the same friend Tracy texted me in distress. She'd been living in a squat and it had burnt down. So for those unfamiliar, a squat is like a premise or, you know, some kind of place that people live in without permission and without paying rent. And the squat had burnt down and Tracy was really upset and wrote, I can't believe it. I'm so lost. I've lost everything. I don't know what to do with my life. My house burnt down. What will I do? My house is gone. My immediate and instinctual response was to take the sentence literally. And so I wrote, well, it wasn't really your house, was it? I couldn't stop myself. And so I just don't know how to relate to humans. The other night, I was wasted, and I approached my naked girlfriend, God bless her soul, hovered both my hands over her breasts, and said, can I touch these treasures? And she said, no. And I said, is it because I called them treasures? And she said, yes. That might be the creepiest thing you've ever done. And it was worse because I was serious, okay? I thought that that was an okay thing to say at that point in time. I thought, yeah, this is going to get things going, like make a lady feel special. Come on, princess treasures, let's go. And now every time I go to touch her, both of us freeze in trauma. And all we can hear is my voice ringing in the air, treasures, 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 treasures. Okay, so the jury is out on whether or not I am somewhere on the autism spectrum, but maybe you, a room full of my peers, could help out. So remember, being on the spectrum is not a bad thing, but if you think I am on the spectrum, please raise your hand and we can get this sorted out once and for all. On the count of three, raise your hand. Ready? One, two, three. What? Am I autistic? Am I on the spectrum? Nah. I think some of you are scared to answer. Like maybe you think I'm going to come and ask you to if I can touch your treasures or try to make you eat tiny, 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 tiny brown grapes. No? Okay. Thank you.
Annalise Constable being an absolute treasure and touching us all at Good God Small Club. That's all the dirty, dark secrets we've got for now, but up next time, writer, comedian, curator and broadcaster Eddie Sharp really just lets it all out.
I considered these pink raw men for a moment as they lazily jacked each other off and thought, not for me.
And remember, you can subscribe to us on iTunes, SoundCloud, and your favourite podcasting app. And if you've enjoyed Confession Booth, please give us a rating and a review on iTunes. And if you don't like Confession Booth, please don't give us a rating and a review on iTunes. I'm AH Kaylee. I'll see you next time.